Welcome to the 2023 series of the Property Report podcast by Property Guru. This year, we will be exploring the latest trends surrounding the real estate industry across different markets in Asia. For this episode, we will chat about one of the major recurring issues across the region, the affordable housing crisis. To keep us informed about the challenges and solutions in their respective markets are our highly respected judges of the Property Guru Asia Property Awards. Let's start off with Ms. Cindy Tanharabata, President, Tahara Leisure and Hospitality Group, Inc., and Chairperson, Philippines Judging Panel.
Hello and good afternoon to everyone.
Next is Datuk Architect Azumi Harzani Ismail, President, Malaysian Institute of Architects 2020-2022, and Chairperson, Malaysia Judging Panel.
Hey everyone, good afternoon. Good to see you all.
And last but not the least is Mr. Soren Siap, President, Cambodian Valuers and Estates Agents Association, or CVA, and Chairperson, Cambodia Judging Panel. Hello and great seeing you, judges. And for our first question, how would you describe the current state of the affordable housing situation in your countries?
I'll probably start this one, Tina. It's definitely a thriving sector in the Philippines. So the Philippine housing market is definitely a key driver for economic growth and also development. So we also saw it's, through the years that having the awards, it's, continuously, we actually see the demand for affordable housing. And especially this time, it's driven by the young middle working class, or I would say the millennials. And there is a backlog also of housing in the Philippines of about 6.5 million that needs to also be built for Filipino families. So there's definitely a need for intervention.
Thank you, Ms. Cindy. Architect Azumi?
Yeah, I think it is nothing a magic solution to affordable housing issues in many countries, including Malaysia. One of the major issues in Malaysia about houses affordability, we try to define what is affordable houses. So the Malaysian National Housing Policy, we determine that for houses, affordable housing, the house must be sold at the price of below 300,000 ringgit or slightly below 80,000 US dollar. But we face a lot of challenges in building houses at that price, especially in the city, in the big city. And the repercussion from that is that more affordable housing actually start to be built outside of the city. And gentrification become a bigger issue that we have to think of it, because the younger generation actually has to move out from the city because they can't walk to stay in the city anymore. So this among the big issues. And I think one of the reasons why we have this issue is that the mismatch between what is offered by the developer and what is affordable by the young purchaser.
All right. Thank you for the two judges for sharing the affordable housing in the Philippines and in Malaysia. As for Cambodia, a similar thing, but of course, Cambodia is relatively a new market for affordable housing here. And we don't have a lot of projects focusing on the affordable house. Actually, the challenge is that the infrastructure in the outside the city, because affordable housing, we cannot find a place, affordable land to build affordable housing project. But so they have to move the location to further out of the city. And there's a lot of challenges for especially developer and the buyer who wants to live in the project itself. And according to the reference, current one project, which is around 10 kilometers away from the city, where most of the people working in the city center. So the thing is that they have to travel back and forth, take longer time, and spend more for gasoline. And traveling cost a lot for them. And I heard that just now the Malaysian affordable house price around 80,000 USD. In Cambodia is so much lower than that. We take into the affordable housing, it's just any price below 30,000 US dollars. The household income here in Cambodia is around 500 to 600 US dollars per month. If talking about the professional individuals, it's just around $300. So if you take, like, just to be safe, one individual who can earn $300 per month, so if 30% of the income, they can afford to pay only $100 per month. 1 year, around 1,200. Then down here, we pay around 20 years in order to, you know, fully make payment for the house period. So that's why we set something around 30,000 and below, consider as the affordable housing. Yeah, and there's a challenge for the developer as well. Infrastructure, they need to build by themselves, because some area, even though the government, Cambodian government, put a lot of investment in infrastructure development, but of course, it's not everywhere. So it also a cost to the developer to build the infrastructure for their own projects. And infrastructure is not cheap. It's a heavy investment. And also most of the finishes of the construction material we imported, so the cost is so expensive. It's quite challenging. The developer income is very, very low margin. So this is one of the challenges. And when after they build this price, they cannot afford to focus on a good quality. So the people living there, they're also concerned about the quality as well.
Okay, for question number two, judges, what are the primary factors contributing to the affordable housing crisis in your areas?
Well, that one, access to affordable land. And especially that the zonal value has also increased. That's what we noticed, especially during the pandemic. You know, permitting process, I don't know about other countries, but it takes time with the local government. Construction costs has also increased.
Yeah, I think permitting process is another important issue. In fact, in our situation in Malaysia, the cost of for the house actually contributed by the regulation compliance cost by between 18 to 30%. So if the houses is like at 80,000 US dollar, 18 to 30% of that actually cost of regulatory compliance. This including the land conversion from agriculture to development, and then the building permitting process. So that actually contribute to the increase of price of houses.
Well, I think the challenge here in Cambodia is that the land price, access to land price is the primary issue, and also the infrastructure, the connectivity between the location where affordable housing development project to the city. We actually in the government level, we are also looking into consideration and trying to put effort to expand the market, including the economy, to the all of the location, not to in order to avoid everyone have to come to the city center to find job and to do all of their business. So the we can share among the sub city, so that we will have more more space for the city center, and also it affordable living standard for the people who live at the suburb. So I think there's two main job here, issue here. One is the land price. The second is the infrastructure. I think once the infrastructure is there, the development will come after.
See, yep, I may ask one more. It's like, I think also the other part is sustainable. I mean, what is the affordable financing? Because financing for the developer and also financing for the homeowners or home buyers. I'm not sure about in your country, is financing, easily available to home buyers?
Yes, that is also the issue. Actually, you know, there's a big amount and the opportunity for those who can access finance. But the people who can access finance is middle income class, where they can afford more than $100,000 per month. More than $100 house price. But here is the issue. The people who afford low income, like afford for the just $30,000, it's hard for them to file the document in order to assess for house financing. So the financial part is not matched, cannot support to the affordable house buyer. Yeah, that is also another issue. We talk a lot about between the government and the financial sector in order to allocate how to allocate the budget for the affordable house buyer. And those people who, don't have the proper document to access finance is still in the top.
In Malaysia, we have a very similar issues. Access to financing by developer is not an issue at all, but end financing by the purchaser, there is some issues because the central bank actually tightened, especially during 2018-2019, the central bank tightened the regulation. It's very difficult to get home purchaser financing, especially for the lower income group people. Because there's a major mismatch that discover that those who want to purchase the affordable houses at price of around 300,000 ringgit or $80,000, they cannot earn more than ringgit 8,000 per month, which is $2,000 per month, the household income. And those people who are eligible to purchase is only low income people, which is $2,000 per month household income. But they are not eligible for the housing loan because they have a lot of other commitment. They have a car hire purchase or other commitment, credit card and so on. So there is one of the issue that people who are eligible for the bank loan cannot take that category because that is only for the low income group. People who want to purchase, they cannot get the bank loan approved. So that's why there was surplus. At one time, there was surplus of affordable houses category, which is below 300,000 ringgit or $80,000. It's not that it's a short of supply. The supply is there, but there's not many people eligible to get a loan. And people who are eligible to get loan cannot purchase because they are restricted from purchasing the house dedicated for the lower income group. So for that reason, the developer actually go back to the government saying that you force us to do affordable houses, but at the end, we can't sell because of the regulation. So the government need to continue talking with developers and also the industry stakeholder to allow easier procedure for loan application. I think by now it is a lot easier as compared to before because the way it is calculated, for you to be eligible for the housing loan, it's only calculated about 30% of your household income after deducting all your other commitment. So most of the time, for $2,000 per month household income, they already have a commitment, maybe $1,000. So 30% of 1,000 is only $300, and they can't afford $300,000 loan or $80,000 loan. So this mismatch actually turns a developer away. They say, what's the point for us to do the affordable housing? Might as well we go for the range of 500,000 ringgit to 1 million, which is $300,000, because they are purchaser or wanted to buy that range. In fact, for 2021, that range from 500,000 ringgit or to 1 million or 150,000 to $300,000, that one actually sell the best. So it is not that short of supply, but it's a mechanism for them to get the financing. Is also a bigger issue here.
Hey, judges, for our next question, are there any successful models or approaches from other regions that can be applied to address the affordable housing crisis in Asia?
I think I have an opportunity to discuss with the government and policymakers about this, and even we have RADA here, the Association of Housing Developers and Real Estate. The major issue is that most of the developers actually are forced to do affordable housing. It's not that it's their choice, because in many states, that for 100 units of medium cost houses or luxury houses, then they have to provide 30% affordable houses, and they have to do the cross subsidy. So they sell higher price for medium cost and luxury houses, and to subsidize the affordable houses. So what was suggested by the property developer here is that for the affordable housing should be the responsibility of the government. So they are willing to pay to contribute amount of money for the number that they're supposed to build, but they don't want to build it. So because one of the issues that they have to subsidize the construction cost, secondly, that they cannot sell it because mismatch between what is offered and what is demanded by the purchaser. So, and when we refer to the model that implemented in Singapore, so Singapore is always be as a referral to many countries. So Singapore actually put public housing under the responsibility of the government, so Housing Development Board. So this is where actually the government can focus to provide, to supply the people with the quality affordable houses, properly managed, properly designed, because they can focus in doing that. Whereas in our country here, the developer has no intention of doing that, but they are forced to do that to make sure that the lower income people can afford to purchase a house. But doing at a loss, and they have to subsidize, actually force them not to put a lot of effort looking into a better design, how to make it practical. The other reason is that if you are doing, let's say, 100 houses, but you are forced to do 30 houses of low cost, so in terms of economic of scale, it is not there. So that's why sometimes they prefer that, okay, government, I pay you money, I give you money, you keep the fund. When it's the fund is big enough, and then you implement it, okay, project by project, so that they will be relieved from the responsibility. They don't mind contributing the fund, but they don't want to be burdened with the responsibility to subsidize, to construct, and at the end, it's difficult to sell.
Mm-hmm. But Izumi, have they actually, so government really put it into socialized housing? They really, mm-hmm. You see that portion from government?
Partially, not all. The government implemented some of the social houses program starting from, I think, 2015, 2016. It is not very successful. It's not as per our target that to produce 1 million house, 1 million houses in 5 years. I think the number are very far below that, but the effort is there. So that, but it is very difficult to implement it unless if we lift up the burden on the developer and accept the contribution from the developer so that we can see a proper sum of money or fund so that we can have a proper planning for affordable houses. So instead of just a pocket development here and there in between the development just to comply with the regulation. So at the moment, we have a few projects that implemented by the government, but the number is still far below the targeted number of having 1 million houses in 5 years.
I wanted to share, say, for instance, the Philippines, because like there's different tiers when it comes to affordable housing. So the lowest category is basically socialized. And I guess one clear example I could say is a developer that we also work with, but not on the housing sector, but on the hospitality, has devised came up with some sort of idea in terms and launched it. No, so the socialized housing is only something like about a little less than 600,000 pesos. So that's clearly like almost 10,000 US, and came up with homes for the poor. And if you're talking about minimum wage in the country, so let's say a joint household, no, earning a couple who's, so that would be an average of about close to about $600-$700. But one thing interesting with this concept was that the developer was able to build homes. So initially targeting, say, 60 homes per month. Yeah. So there is a fund in the Philippines called Pag-ibig, which is basically a home development mutual fund owned by government. And its main goal is to be able to provide loans and financial services to people. So this developer was able to come up with a zero equity. All you need is to make sure, and they process now all the they help process all the documentation in order for you to be eligible for this Pag-ibig loan. And they even created a seminar wherein they have to make sure that the Filipinos who actually buy into the homes are not only eligible home buyers, but make it a point that they fulfill the obligation of paying on a monthly basis. So they have even came up with no seminar, no loan. So something like a policy. So you have to go through the seminar because they have, that's part of their, it's really part of their way to make sure that you fulfill the obligation. So the target was 60 a month, 60 units a month. Became, you know, the actual was, they fulfilled something like 600. And they came to a point wherein they even did a stop selling, primarily because they could not comply anymore. So the challenges there was that also, of course, the contractors, because the margins are very little. So they have to support the contractors. So Formworks, for instance, they have to kind of have a free use of Formworks in order for contractors to have higher profitability and also, you know, the capability to develop. So I think in terms of affordable housing, it's a multifaceted strategy in order to really deliver affordable homes. So from the government intervention, from the developer, helping the contractors, making it a point that they also help home buyers have access to finance, and the home buyers to make sure that they fulfill also the payment. So I think the intervention, that's the reason why I kept mentioning about intervention. It has to be, everyone is part of this, not problem, but solution.
Thank you for bringing up Pag-ibig Fund, Ms. Cindy. I've been forgetting to update my payments. So thank you for that. Now, okay. Now, for the most crucial question of all, what recommendations or strategies would you propose to address the affordable housing crisis in Asia at a regional or and local level? Who would like to answer this first?
I think it is very difficult to change the mindset of people, especially in Asia, as compared to European, that we want to be secure. We want to have the ownership of our shelter. And we want to live renting lifelong because we feel more secure. There is, I think, implanted in the culture of Asian people. But if you go to European or Western people, they want flexibility. They want to move from place to one place, experience different environment, different neighborhood. But property ownership is not priority to many of them. But instead, they want flexibility. As long as they can have a good shelter, good environment, good neighborhood, that is their primary focus. But here, I think in Asia, we more focus on to secure our houses, our shelter. So it will take some time before we can change the mindset, because I truly believe that we shouldn't treat houses as commodity. Houses should not be investment. Houses is something, is the basic needs of the people. Although that some investor invest in property, but the effect to general public is that the escalation of price unnecessarily. We should try to change this mindset, and maybe like what Cindy mentioned, that government intervention is very important, that you cannot purchase solely for investment. In some country, like in our country, we have a real property gain tax, property gain tax. I think our government probably put a very high percentage of real property gain tax to prevent speculation and over investment of property that affecting the general property prices.
Yeah, I think my opinion on that is that the shelter is very important to everyone, including those who have low income. So we have to set a goal in order to provide a better living situation for them. So we have to, the government have to join together with the private sector in order to find a good solution to build a good environment for those low income people, so that they can afford for a place, a good environment for living. I think in Cambodia, we don't have much affordable house project, but of course we have slightly higher than affordable house project by the private developer. This is not part of the housing, affordable housing project set by the government via a lot of incentive and the regulation in order to buy those houses. But this slightly higher than the affordable house in Cambodia also make the people who have a slightly higher than lower income, like in between the low income people and the medium income people, the medium class, they can access the finance. So we solve a lot of issue by providing this slightly higher than the affordable house price to the people, to Cambodian people. And most of them are surrounding the city.
My opinion on that one is, I think affordable housing is, is an essential. So imagine, let's say, our policemen, our nurses, our teachers, firefighters who cannot even afford living in the city or the area where they work. It's also an economic issue. It's important for developers and government to have a roadmap to address the housing crisis. So in the Philippines, we have 6.5 million backlog. So government also has an aggressive strategy now to making it a point that they deliver 1 million homes per year. So by the time that you hit, let's say, fifth year, you still have a bit of a backlog. So it is really a crisis. government also has to understand that affordable housing does not only help families, but it also help local government because, you know, I mean, people who purchase homes also pay property taxes. And if you come up with affordable housing, it creates a ripple effect because families actually have more expendable funds to buy food, consumer goods, also pay services. And, you know, this supports local communities or local businesses like restaurants and retail stores. So it's so important for us, even in the private sector, to help and to be able to also create that, you know, that whole ecosystem in terms of providing affordable homes.
Judges, great seeing all of you again, and thank you so much for your valuable insight in today's topic. Now, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Property Report podcast by Property Guru. We have exciting topics lined up, so stay tuned for the next ones. For more information, visit AsiaPropertyAwards.com.